Feel incredible!
Kokoku demo! It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
I caught his ass.
Yeah.
I timed that perfectly. I did that on purpose. I whispered it to Keenan, waiting for that moment to happen. And I was just,
oh man.
Look at Ice, guys.
I hate Brennan. All
right, man. Y'all missed a. I mean, this had nothing to do with anime at the beginning of this discussion. So that's why you got to join the Patreon. Since I be just talking about some crazy other shit, life shit, and it's funny and it's really really funny and it was. That's why you gotta join that Patreon, man. Patreon.com /animation. S-H-U-N.
Just for the record, if people get in to the Patreon, they can go back and see all of this.
They can go back and see everything.
That's amazing, Ice. Yo, if you guys do ever get into the Patreon, today's the episode. Go and listen to the conversation.
Episode, can you name this episode? Cam, can you name this episode? It's just animation arcs, favorite arcs.
Animation arcs.
Text that to me, but yeah, yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
We out here. What are we doing today?
Well, I could probably do it later on when I log in. But yeah, welcome to another episode of Animation. The squad is back in full effect once again, man. Hey, I like y'all having y'all here, man.
Yeah, it's good when
the whole family's here, man. This is how we got it. You know what we doing here? We do one-off debates, talk our shiznit. Have funny debates and talks even before the show starts on that Patreon. That has nothing to do with anime. And go back to this episode. It should be called Favorite Arcs, man. If you want to hear some funny things, see some funny pictures of people.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll see funny pictures of certain members of our, huh? Ice?
No.
Ice is giving, for those just listening, Ice is giving me a look. And I can't, for the life of me, understand why he'd do such a thing.
Mm. Well, I know why.
Why, Keenan? Why would he do such a thing?
I mean, you know.
I don't, actually. Could you enlighten me?
I don't have to worry about it. Keenan's solid. Keenan's solid.
I just know you guys are great arch nemesis for a reason. And that's the reason why. So we talked about it for almost a whole fucking 25, 30 minutes. So.
Oh, my God.
Talk about arcs.
But, yeah, you know, the whole squad is back. Myself, Ice, Rob.
Yes, sir.
Brennan is in the building. Killer Cam. Cam is also up in here, man. We got a great, exciting, super, super, super fun episode for you guys. But before we get into the fun parts of the episode, or not even just the fun parts, but the meat of the episode, let's get into some of this anime news.
Yeah, before we have any fun, let's talk about some news. First of all, and I know Brennan's got something attached to this too, but I wanted to talk about the Jordan Brand announcement that they are partnering with Naruto. So Jordan Brand Shoes teased a collaboration with one of the young stars of the NBA, Zion Williamson, and the anime Naruto, with an image of the Jumpman next to Naruto doing a between-the-legs dunk with his Rasengan. Am I saying that right?
Rasengan,
thank you.
Rasengan!
A few days later, they unveiled the fashion line with three color moderations of the Jordan Zion 1s, along with a few shirts, hoodies, pants that will be rolled out between May 11th and 18th. This will likely be the finale of the Zion 1s before they move on to putting out the Zion 2s. The three colorways represent different elements of the show that also relate to Zion and his career. The yellow-orange Kyuubi, a.k.a. Nine-Tails mode, is a combination of the Nine-Tailed Chakra mode and the Six-Path Sage mode, and it reflects the time when both Naruto and Zion harnessed their respective powers to fully control their untamed forces.
That's the written.
This is from
synopsis.
The release. Oh, okay. I copy-pasted this. The Nine-Tails in black and brown, which I think was my favorite of the three, is the power that was untamed until Naruto sealed it within. A similar force lives within Zion, who in just a few short seasons has established himself as an unstoppable force in the NBA. And the white and the white-black sage of the Six Paths is influenced by his family, friends, and peers, much like how the godlike sage of the Six Paths carried this power as the ancestor of Shinobi and the first Jinchuriki to exist.
Jinchuriki
to exist. So yeah, I mean, I think I shared this link in the group. What do you all think of the anime-inspired shoe designs in general? You know, not necessarily this particular line, but in general, what do you think of anime-inspired shoe designs? And what do you like about them, and where do they go wrong?
Yeah, because I know I'm guessing you got a whole spiel about it. I think it depends. I think it depends. Like, me personally, thank you. Get him. Take seven.
It's all right, man. Go ahead.
I'm not a fan, and somebody else said the opposite of this, but like, I'm not a fan of like blasting the whole anime on the shoe. I like subtleness. I like if I got a like a dope like Dragon Ball shoe, I want it to be either the color scheme or like it just says Capsule Corps where the like
you
want
to be able to wear it and not ever be like, hey, look, he's got anime shoes on.
Yeah, I want yeah. So I feel like that's
look
like, that's,
at this freaking nerd.
Not even, I feel like that's a kid thing. You know what I'm saying? That's,
yeah, having like images of the people.
Like my whole room is Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, it's like,
I prefer the subtle look to give it some style, give it some like don't make it like in your face. It's got big logos.
And then
on
the real sneakerheads and the real people are like, yo, that's the whatever, whatever's, and it's like that's dope. It's like like the Gundam ones that I have, you have to you have to know that shoe or know that whatever to know what it is. So I like that, the color scheme. And it seems like this is kind of more of a color scheme thing, but I'll be honest with you, I'm not necessarily a fan of this particular look.
The style of shoe myself,
the silhouette is just not,
because even his shoe in general, I'm not a fan of this shoe. So it's like you just add a different color scheme and it's like, it's not a thing.
I will say Brennan, however, really wanted it, and I said he should not because he's not a fan of Naruto, and I feel like that's a contradictory thing.
Oh, there's more to come.
When he first said that, I was just like, why is he doing this? But go ahead. Everybody else, go ahead.
Yeah, Brendan, did you want to comment on this particular line of shoes?
Nope. I'm joking.
After all.
No, I mean, I actually like the orange ones. I think they're a statement piece. Like, they really are, like, outside of the, I don't know. I like the idea. Like, I actually do like what you said, Keenan. I like shoes that are, like, understatement. Like, the worst thing to me is, like, when they're like, yeah, look at these Jordan 1s with that Tanjiro on the side.
Yeah.
I'm like, I hate that. Like, that's stupid. But I actually like these shoes, you know, like I think they look decent. I think they look cool, like with the right outfit. So I said he would get me the shoes if I watched two more seasons of Naruto. Now I have a question.
Yeah.
Would you give me the Jordan Off-Whites?
No.
Instead?
No.
I know.
That was like $1,500. That's a completely different tax.
Those are $1,500?
It depends. It ranges, but the cheapest shoe one size is maybe $650.
Really?
Yeah.
If damn, not, I saw somebody with those the other day, and I was like, that might be my favorite shoe.
The Jordan ones?
Were they they weren't ones. I'll figure out what it is.
These either ones or fives.
Well, Off-Whites now, all that stuff's really expensive.
Yes. Yeah. What has been your favorite collab though? Somebody said in here the DBZ Adidas collab. That was actually dope as fuck. I wanted the Gohans and I wanted the Gohans and there's like another one. And I saw them for like $250. I was like, I'm gonna get these. And I was like, I'll wait. I was just like, nobody's gonna buy them. Yeah. I looked up at a certain point in time, they were like $500 now. And I was like, wow. Well, not anymore.
Yo, my the
but the Gohans look dope though to me.
This is awesome. I just learned a lot about Jordans because I have been gifted a bunch of them. And the first ones I got are worth so much more than when they gave them to me now.
Yeah, yours are worth
those Cactus Jacks. I don't even wear them ever. Like I'd leave them in the box, and I'm just like, they originally were like $200. Now they're like $600 or some shit. And I'm just like, I might just sell them.
Anything Travis Scott is going to
Travis Scott. I have the Travis Scott Cactus Jacks.
Yep,
33s. But they're dope. They're really nice.
What about you, Rob? How you feel?
I mean, these are cool. I'm not a sneakerhead at all. Like, I'll tell you, I'm on my, like, third pair of Van slip-ons in a row that Brennan likes to call the white privilege ones.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. That might be Brennan's best joke.
That's pretty good.
Look at his shoes. Y'all, look at his shoes right now.
No, they're very whatever. Yeah. They are lowercase S shoes.
Yeah.
Because I just got to get out the house. I remember we were shooting workplace comedy, and Tony Baker was going around doing shoe checks on everybody. He comes up to me, and he's just like, what's Rob got? I was like, I don't really like tying my shoes. And he goes, okay. And then he moved on. And Brennan got so mad because he's just like, what the fuck? Like, because I think he had just come after
No, he came after me because I was wearing the Jordans that fucking Tahir gave me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he's just like, what the fuck is this? They're talking all this shit about my shit. And then he goes to this motherfucker wearing white privileged ones. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And nothing.
It was a legitimately good joke that Brennan pulled out at that point. And I was just like, man. Like, and,
Tony Baker respected that. Like, after I said, I was like, all this shit. And he's wearing the white privileged ones.
Yeah.
Tony Baker's like, yeah, that's real. All right.
Yeah. But because I was also standing next to Tony Valentino, who has been wearing the same Adidas shoes since I've known him.
No, I mean, that goes into, and I'm just going to have one short soapbox.
Do your thing.
This just goes into a thing my brother and I were talking about over the weekend, is that like being a black person in America, I can't speak to anywhere else in the world, but being a black person in America, there's a certain set of cultural norms that you're supposed to adhere to. And if you don't, you are ostracized within the community and made fun of because we talk so much shit about each other. And we always have to be super clean. We always have to be all these things and be up on the fashion, be up on the culture and the lingo, on the movies, on the music. Like there's so many things you got to be up on. Mm. And it's like, for me, I always kind of hated that like white people don't have that. Like, there's literally nothing. Like, you just wake up in the morning, you do whatever the fuck you want to do, and nobody tells you shit. You know what I'm saying? Where it's just like, for me, it's just like, no matter what I do, you know what I'm saying? Look, these guys, and you've seen it a bunch of times.
Yeah, I've seen it.
If I walk in, and it's just all the time, like, Brendan, what the fuck are you wearing? I'm like, look at the white dudes right next to me. Like, they're wearing way worse shit than me, and they're over there just like, nobody says anything about what
I'm wearing. Well, the reason why Rob is going to get less flack, and even Cam's going to get less flack, is one, because they don't speak as loudly as you do about, you shit talk. As soon as you walk in
I'm not talking about just me though. I'm saying in general. People.
No, it's definitely a culture.
It's like, it's not just like people won't even know me. Like, black people won't even know you and be looking at you like, what is this nigga
wearing?
We're
gonna definitely be like, yeah, we're gonna go. We're gonna
but you won't say that But you don't do that to like the random white dude goes by. You know what I'm saying? Like, unless they're like outrageously wearing some crazy shit, you don't do it.
Brendan seems so hurt by it.
No, he really is. Because the thing is, it's like my whole life has just been like, man, fuck you.
There it is.
My whole life.
There it is.
And it's been fuck you. And I've never given a fuck about fashion. I've never given a fuck about shoes, but I've been forced into being like, I have to like figure out a way to wear things so that people don't talk about what I wear.
It's funny, you dress as someone who's been forced into it.
I do. I do. I'm like, let me just wear shit so black people don't make fun of me.
Because most of Brendan's shirts that I've seen are like, and I'm with this now, I'm more about comfort now anyway, but it's like merch shirts. It's like, you got a stage crew right now. It's like Tony Baker shirts.
You can't say shit to me.
A lot of that is nobody can shit talk. Yeah, again.
Nobody can shit. I wear it because nobody can shit talk it. Like, oh, you own the company. Yes, this is my company.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. You know what I'm saying?
But your shoe game was very daddish, and you had no children at the time anyways. You had no children. So it was just like, we were just like, bro, you're dressing like a 40-year-old white man.
Yeah, you're dressing like a motherfucker that's out of shape.
Well, soon enough, I'll be a 40-year-old white man, so it's just like, it doesn't really matter. Like,
that's what you mean. It's just like,
the bar is very low for me.
Like, I think the worst, the worst best joke somebody ever said to me is like, you dress like you have 820 credit energy. And I'm just like, wait a minute. And I was like, wait a minute. I mean, I do have 820. Like, so I was like, wait, I do have 820 credit. Oh, hold on. Oh, wait. Oh. Yeah,
there's a subliminal message.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. I was like, oh, wait. Oh. Damn! Thank. Oh,
because I mean, even the shoes I wear normally now already is the Asics or whatever. I think they're called the Nimbuses, but it's like I wear them strictly for comfort. But other than that, it's like if I'm going out, if I'm doing a show, I'm going to be in some fly ass dunks. I'm going to have like a
dope. But you're a comedian that's on stage, and the things you should be like the thing is like you have to stand in front of a group of people perfectly lit.
But at the same time, you just said that he should be, but Bill Burr or if Rob got into comedy right now. He's doing his stand up Netflix special.
Yeah, but also Hannibal Buress.
Bill Burr actually had some J's on the other day.
But I'm just saying, Rob got a Netflix special, he's wearing this outfit.
No, I'm saying
nobody's saying shirt too.
Yeah, and nobody's saying anything.
But I mean, Hannibal Burr is kind of dressed like.
But I'm just saying that's the thing is like you even just put that on Keenan, but you would never say that for Rob. Rob can literally do a Netflix special with millions of dollars.
I'm not saying I'm not part of the culture.
And, yeah, see,
all right. That's all we want to be like. Hey,
no, the thing is, don't play victim here. No, the thing is, the mentality has been so deeply ingrained in me that it goes on both
instinctual.
It's on both sides.
For sure.
Like, I initially am just like, you know, like, I, and this is, okay, this is the last thing I'm going to say because this is one of the things that upsets me so much still to this day. Is that To this day. But I'm saying, tell me if you guys haven't had this experience before. Like, this is a very common black experience. Is that, like, black. Like in your family, when you're getting dressed, or like you come home dirty, you don't look clean or whatever. Mm. Like, I'm not gonna have you out here in front of these white folk looking like this. You know, like I'm not gonna have you out here looking like this shit. Like,
it was never white folks. It was I'm never gonna have you out here in front of people looking like this. It wasn't.
I heard
never,
the white
for
folks.
Me,
I heard the people.
It wasn't specific.
I've heard
white
both.
For
you know what I'm saying? I've heard both, but it's just like depends on where you're from. But
I grew up in St. Louis. It was predominantly black, so we hardly was ever in front of white people.
Yeah, it was rarely ever said. My parents like because my parents like you're a reflection of us. If you out here looking dirty, you out here. You ain't gonna be out here looking. My kids ain't gonna be out here looking dirty like
this.
So it was.
But the thing is, it's also subjectively what is looking dirty. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I was out here just playing in dirt. So
yeah, I get that. But it's like then I look at a Tony.
You can look at
a Tony
kid
Valentino.
And be like, "That's an unkept ass kid."
Well, right. Tony is a. All right, I'm gonna move on. I'm not gonna do this.
Yeah.
All
right. I agree with you, Brendan. You're right.
Thank you.
He's having a hard time articulating your argument.
No, I'm not having a hard time articulating your argument. I'm just like I'm trying not to throw anybody directly under the bus.
And our is like, speak your truth, Brendan.
No, I see some people were feeling me when I was talking.
Oh, for sure. No, you get a lot of support in the chat.
At the end of the day. There was a point in time when I wasn't the most swagged out, like, you know, I was wearing hand-me-downs and shit like that, and you got roasted. We only got
Brennan is just saying that as a cultural thing. You would experience that, but a white person of the same exact situation.
We know what he's saying this entire time.
Yeah, we know exactly. Yeah,
I know you lived it. The thing is, I know is I don't have to. That's why there's like this kind of like when you see like another black person anywhere, you're just always like, what up. Yeah. It's like because there's a shared experience.
I know what you've been through.
I know what you've been through. Like,
you got smoked.
The thing
out,
is, we talk about like racism,
and don't let you wear the same thing in the same school week.
I remember that. Oh, those are the same pants that you wore 2 days ago. I'm like,
you're smoked.
Yes.
You should be able to wear the same.
I'd be like,
you're
but then it's like
smoked.
One of my best friends be a white dude, and I'm like, this motherfucker
they,
wore
the same
pants
for
2 weeks.
Yes,
he's been wearing the same pants for 2 weeks.
Two
ain't nobody said
weeks.
A fucking thing to him. And then the black people even notice it. Like, man, he has been wearing it for 2 weeks. That's crazy.
And then just keep
back
pushing.
To Brennan.
Back to
Brennan.
It's two time.
Back to
Brennan. Brennan
with your big head and shitty shoes. You ain't never had a pair of Forces or Jordans. Bum ass.
Yeah, so it was clothes and haircuts.
Yeah,
clothes
smoked.
And haircuts.
Oh man, and when my hairline started going, bro.
Oh yeah, damn, you did have it rough. That
19.
That, yeah, you had
19.
That, man,
Brennan was. Getting
I'm so happy
you
that you're up.
Socked out, bro.
I'm so happy that you're up because that first half, they had me in the first half, but
oh,
this
bro.
Second half been looking pretty good for you, man.
Well, thank
I'm proud
you,
of you, man.
No, I'm just. I'll tell you right now, like when you talk about like people getting roasted and blazed like through school. Like, you should ask Alonzo about it next time you say, like, Brent Alonzo, who's the person who caught it the worst out of everybody?
I mean,
like,
you can tell. Just go to, what's that show?
Fuck
Robin
you.
Robin Tahir?
Explain myself.
I mean, explain this.
No, yeah. You know what the worst part about that is? I had a client this past week.
It came back up.
The client
oh, wow.
was looking through Kev on Stage's Instagram, found it, and then sent it to all the clients. Like, Brennan, can you explain this? And sent
oh,
it to everybody.
Shit.
And I was just like, my soul.
They yeah. destroyed this
they,
man. And I was there. Right. We were there. You were there live too, right?
I wasn't there, but I've seen the episode.
I was there live.
They,
you hear us
look,
laughing in the background like,
if you,
oh.
You guys, I'm just going to give it the advertisement it deserves. If you want to see
good.
Me taking the one of the biggest L's that can be taken when it comes to like understanding you're showing up somewhere to get roasted, like these niggas had it out for me. Like they were talking about, it's like the, just so you know, the concept of the show is called Explain This. They go through your social media, find pictures, and make fun of you for those pictures. But for me, they would put a picture down on the table and talk about something that had nothing to do with the picture. Like they were just
they
like, I've been
had
they were like,
up.
I've just been waiting for a reason to say this shit.
Yes.
Like they were lighting me the fuck up.
Everything that Brennan said about his clothes, it got brought up. Everything got brought up in this particular Explain This.
Yeah, they fucked me up. They're like, where's my hug energy?
Oh.
Oh, fuck, man. That would hurt. Because the worst part is I was that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I was that guy. You got to own it, man.
Yeah.
You got to own it. I was
with
definitely the
receding hairline and saying, where's my hug? That's like a match made in heaven.
It was bad, man.
Like,
was,
they go hand in hand.
And we're about to move on in a second, but I had to say something.
A rough run.
I played that on the big screen at my brother's house, even though you make fun of my brother dressing.
Oh, he dresses way worse than I ever have.
I played that on his, like, he has like a projector, like a 90-inch projector.
You played it at your brother's house? God damn.
We watched it on there. I played it for Janelle on a TV screen. Like, I had to show people this shit.
Half those views are you, Keenan.
He's just like, hey,
I had to show. Cause I was like, I got ripped, but not as nobody got ripped as bad as Brennan.
No, because I remember like was a bunch like, of other people got ripped before me, and I was like, this isn't that bad. This is
they
that bad.
I sat down,
and both Tahir and like, I remember the energy of their eyes as soon as I sat down. I was like, oh no.
The worst part is, I think they're wearing sunglasses, so they were just like staring death out from back
felt
behind
it.
Those.
Yeah. I felt it. They were just like, welcome, Brennan.
Throwing out a file the size of a book.
Yeah. It was rough.
All right, man. Sorry. But watch that episode. Y'all enjoy it. Rob, any more news stories?
I got one more news story that we'll get through
Thank
pretty
you,
quick,
Luke.
I think. But there are further anime and manga projects being announced for Star Wars, which I'm, of course, very excited about.
Yes.
It was recently announced that Square Enix's monthly Big Gangan magazine will be releasing manga adaptations of both The Mandalorian and Star Wars Vision starting in May. The Mandalorian would be a pretty straightforward adaptation about the bounty hunter Din Djarin, who at first hunts and then protects the Force-sensitive infant that is the same species of Yoda, and that will be, you know, drawn by Yusuke Osawa. Who will also be working on the 9th Jedi adaptation in the Star Wars Vision side. The other Star Wars Vision stories being adapted is The Elder, drawn by Kamome Shirahama, who drew it for the show. Lopin Ocho, drawn by Haruichi, and The Twins, drawn by Kisuke Sato. And speaking of Visions, there are some rumblings that Season 2 is close to being announced, and we could even see some footage at the upcoming Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim, which is May 26th through the 29th. The overall reception of the show was good, with a 93% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes and a 79% on Metacritic. And the rumors say that just like the first season, which could launch in the fall of this year, which would be all the episodes all at once. The studios haven't been announced, but it is expected that a lot of them may return, and some of them may even be continuing some of the stories that they started in season one.
As long as they can do that first one.
Yeah. Which that one got a book. That got a book follow up.
Yeah, they can do that whole thing. That's fire.
Yeah.
No, Rob, the other titles, are they making like movies or more content on those ones you mentioned? Like The Ninth Jedi and that?
So that, it sounds like they're going to bring back some of the studios. The manga adaptation they're going to do is just going to be, I think, the chapter that they put out. But with season two of Visions coming up,
they may re up and continue some of those.
They may bring back some of those studios that worked on the original season one, and they may do like the next chapter in that story that they did. So I remember we all generally responded positively to the first season of Visions. Mm. Are you looking forward to the return? Which stories would you want to see them go back to? Which ones would you want to see them avoid?
Of course, that first episode with the samurai one, and then we talked about, I think
that
we
was
all
the black and white one, right?
Yeah.
The Ronin
and,
one.
And then there was another one that I think we all kind of generally liked too. It was like where they all kind of were like they all kind of set one person up. They were saying like they're a good guy, but they're actually bad guys.
Yeah, that was the Ninth Jedi.
The Ninth Jedi.
That was my favorite one.
That one was fire too.
Yeah. I'd love to see a whole show based around that.
Yeah, same.
Personally.
That and The Elder. The Elder was another solid episode.
The Elder was pretty dope, and that one's getting a manga adaptation. That was the one where you had the two Jedi Knights fighting the old Sith Lord.
Yeah.
And they basically just got him because he was old. And it was just like, right. But before that, he was a monster. So I'd love to see them even pick up some more adventures with those guys, but I know personally which ones do I not want to see them go back to. I don't particularly feel drawn to see another fucking rock concert.
Not at all.
Personally, I am good on that.
Yeah, that one was trash.
It was fine for the kids. We don't need to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, and even there was the one with like the little robot boy. I was like, that one ended a little bit stronger than I expected it to, but it was just not really doing it for me throughout.
Yeah, I wonder how well ratings wise did the Rock one do? Because if it did well, it's coming back, or they're gonna do a kids one again for sure.
I do think
they'll probably keep it pretty spread out. Or
right, and I think they are doing like a kids book adaptation of the Little Robot Boy one. Like they're gonna make like a little like book for kids based off of that particular story.
Okay.
But seeing a lot of adaptations going both ways, it seems clear that Western stories and live-action projects seem to be easier to adapt to anime and manga rather than the other way around. Why do you think it seems to work better one way versus the other? And do you think there's any live-action project that would not work as an anime adaptation?
Live-action?
Because, I mean, it seems like pretty much for the most part you can adapt something from live-action to anime and it works, usually. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that's live action that you'd be like, I don't think that would work as an anime?
It has to be something that's a, like a slow burn, that doesn't really have a lot of action.
Pulp Fiction would be weird, yeah.
That could work.
It could work, but I mean, like it's like, but how do you make it better?
The blood, I wouldn't say, I don't necessarily, any of these that we recommend, I don't think it'd make it better.
You would be able to make it better by, I mean, just thinking in an animation sense, you have there is no, there's restraints in production. Mm-hmm. You can only do so much. With animation, you can do whatever you want.
And but a lot of Pulp Fiction was like in the subtleties of their faces. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you had overdone. You got them getting black blood all over them.
I mean, I get it, but we're talking about like how intense the dialogue was and like the way, like the actors really brought it in that. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
And so to be able to give those really subtle like facial feature things that happen, like Samuel Jackson.
I wouldn't think it'd be necessarily done better.
I think it would be really hard.
It would be hard. I'm saying that it could be done. That's what I'm saying. Because it's not impossible. Because it's Pulp Fiction, Pulp Fiction doesn't set it apart. You could make something as good as Pulp Fiction.
Quentin Tarantino, too, I think. Even when they did the Kill Bill thing,
he did a whole animated sequence.
If he makes that into, he's gonna go ham with Pulp Fiction with the blood and gore that he can do that shit on. That shit'll be nuts, in my personal opinion. But I don't know. I feel like because even if you do a rom com or like there's already animated a rom com that people are doing, that's like I wouldn't like it, but it's like you said Hitch.
If you want to, I don't know what made me think of this, but Raging Bull. I think if you did an animated of that one, it probably wouldn't hit the same.
I was even thinking, I know
A Scorsese, like anything. Most of Scorsese work, I feel like, wouldn't be as good if it was animated.
Yeah, like I was even thinking, like a lot of I know we in particular don't really care much for sports anime. So like, Remember the Titans would be like, I don't know about that as an anime. Like, I don't know what that would bring.
We watched that so many times in my high school.
Oh my god!
The Shining maybe.
The Shining, I feel like, would be cool as an anime, though.
That could hallway be. Scene?
Yeah. Especially if, like, you wanted to get blood. In. Yeah, the horror, like horror element. Yeah. That could be cool.
I was just trying to find something. I'm just not.
I hear you. No, I think it's something that, like, you know, because of the way how flexible anime is or animation in general, like, you can always, you know, take something that's live action and kind of dial it up, and it will make it more interesting.
I guess if you want to stay with Kubrick, though, Full Metal Jacket, I feel like, probably wouldn't hit the same animated.
Yeah.
Because I think it's just like the realism of war and boot camp. And then, like, most of the scenes that happened throughout Full Metal Jacket, it wouldn't hit the same.
I agree.
Is that the one with like that, like, is like you said, boot camp, and then the guy?
Yeah, yes.
The boot camp one.
The yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. The one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sorry, you know I haven't seen that many movies, so I'm like, wait, have I seen this one? Shit was intense.
Yeah, it was.
I love Kubrick, so.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Something like Slow Burning might not be, but like even then you could, you know, dial it up, whereas like with anime, it's already so big that when you put it into live action, it feels like it doesn't quite work.
I feel like, and I know I might be in a minority on this one, but like, I feel like the Animatrix could have been so much better. And I wasn't a fan of the Animatrix.
I heard that was good.
Ronald said Fear and Loathing.
I don't know. I feel like there's some stuff that's been animated that hasn't hit as hard. And I feel like the Animatrix doesn't.
When
even
it came
close.
Out, it was amazing.
And when it came out,
it was.
Yeah.
When, it looking at it, whenever we went back, like during quarantine,
like the Trackstar one did.
That was
I really like that historical like two parter where they're like, "This is how everything got."
Yeah,
fucked
I like
up.
That.
That
a lot.
One I liked.
I was just like.
Some of them were pretty.
This
hard,
isn't
though.
As dope as I remember it. And then I watched the original Matrix around the same time.
But you got to remember this. But you have to remember, like during that time, like I think I saw the Animatrix. Like and the only other time I had seen anime at that point was maybe Dragon Ball Z.
Really?
You know, so like that was it.
Yeah.
You know, I saw the Animatrix when I was pretty young.
Yeah.
You know, like what year did the Matrix come out?
2000.
You
know?
Yeah, 2000 or 1999 or something like that.
Yeah, I was 13. You know.
No, that's a good point because like when I was watching Animatrix, that was some of the, like other than Dragon Ball, which I too was like the violence and like the heaviness of it was kind of. New to me,
it was
like
2003.
Watching all that kind of be animated was new. So, but now you know I've seen a bunch.
2003
of
2003 is about around the time I saw Dragon Ball Z for the first time.
Yeah, no, that, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I
wasn't. No, it wasn't. No, it was 2001.
Yeah, I saw
2001.
Yeah,
it was my freshman year of high school. I'll never forget it because I missed. Actually, I'm gonna talk about that as one of the sides. Yeah.
How old?
You're in high school?
That's what I was just saying. How old are you?
I feel so young.
35.
Uh-huh. Well, because I was a kid.
Yeah, you're a child. We know this.
Yeah, I was.
A child.
Yeah,
now.
I'm a grown man now.
You know what's funny is a lot of people do want them to make a Pulp Fiction anime. I was looking it up.
Really?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of call for it.
Interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
Well, all right. That's what I got for anime news.
Well, thank you, Rob, as always, for anime news. Now, that's a good discussion. We spent a lot of time on that.
Yeah.
Now to the meat and the potatoes.
Get
to it. Talk about discussing our favorite arcs, our favorite anime arcs that we've watched on the show. So understand this. There are some parameters with this. We're not going to be going out there saying, you know, some shit from Bleach that we haven't watched yet. We're not doing that. But y'all can put your favorite arcs.
I wish I could use
in
some
general.
Bleach arcs.
I was going to say, there's a bunch
of y'all can put y'all. I think for you guys, if you watch everything with us too, put your favorite arcs that we've watched. If you, we're going to also rate them, but if you want to just put your favorite arcs in general in anime in the comment section, that's also cool too, because y'all might not have seen all the episodes that we put out there. So we're going to do our favorite arcs from the anime that we watched. We're going to do what, two a piece, right?
Yeah. We can do two a piece.
Do a two a piece. And then afterwards, we're going to rank those arcs from worst to best, best to worst, whatever case, out of ones that we just picked out of the eight that we picked. So we didn't even figure out a way we're gonna do an order. So Cam.
Pick a number
between 1 and 10, and I guess the people that get the closest to that number, we go in that order. So if it's like if you pick, you know,
9.
You weren't supposed
don't,
to tell
don't
us.
Don't tell us.
What the fuck?
Pick another number, Cam, and don't tell us what it is.
You already picked your number right now.
Here, Cam.
Do you guys have your number? No, do you guys have your number?
What the fuck, Cam?
Write a number on this.
I hear what you're saying.
Give me a pen.
What did you think we meant?
I thought you had already picked the number, so I'm going to say a number, and then you all would say it was closest. But I realized that you could just pick any number you want.
Yes, we can now be like 8. I picked 9, too.
Well,
8.99999.
I see why you thought that, but no.
Okay, I'm writing a number now.
Write a number down.
Shit.
Motherfucker, I feel like he picked 9 again. That's what I feel like he did.
He could have.
That's
the game, isn't it?
That's a very Cameron thing to do.
Yes, 9.
That's your number?
Yeah.
5. 6.
Don't do it, Brennan.
Pick a whole number.
6.5.
actually, he should, but
I was originally going to say 7. So
I knew you was.
You go for it. I mean, it's
Keenan wins. He was right. I picked 9. Yeah.
That makes sense.
I knew he was.
So just want to go around from you.
So no, it's who was closest? So if I was 9 and it was 9, who picked 7?
Me.
7
that
would
was
be next, right? So 7,
then me, then Ice,
then you, Ice, and then we'll go snake draft type of thing.
Yep.
It'll go last to first again. So, all right. Whoa, I didn't expect to go first, to be honest. So my first one, that I'm going to have to change that pick. Fuck, I'm actually nervous now going first. This is actually kind of fucking tough.
Why'd you have to change it?
Because I always get the luck of going last, and I had one in mind, but now that I'm first,
the world is yours, Keenan. You can pick whatever you want.
It's yours. It's yours.
It's too much. Is it too much pressure?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I watched Belly yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Good bad movie.
Voluntarily?
I didn't pick it.
No. Well, like, fuck it, let's throw on that Hype Williams.
I feel like most people are going to pick...
it was interesting.
You've never seen it?
I had seen it, but not for...
Oh, if you've never seen it, okay. Yeah. It's just a long music video.
The way that it's shot is incredible.
That's a Hype Williams.
Yeah, he shot it, but it was like, it wasn't the strongest.
It was just like, it's a long music video.
What's your pick?
All right. At all the anime that we watched, I feel like everybody's going to pick a very similar anime that we all loved, but I'm not going to go that route this one.
Okay.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go with One Punch Man, season one. I feel like One Punch Man, season one, did not miss one motherfucking beat for episode.
It's an arc?
Huh?
You picking an arc from there?
Well, I mean, the season one was technically,
it's an arc. It's not really a filler.
Yeah. Yes, there's no, it's 22 episodes.
I went really, like, specific.
Yeah, I did the same. I tried to, like, dial it down. But I see what you're saying.
Some of these don't have arcs.
This works for One Punch Man.
I know. Yeah, it didn't have arcs. That's why I just said season one.
Sure.
Unless there's an arc in there to y'all. Is there?
Is it a couple episodes where the aliens show up at the end or something like that?
The arc is like, I feel like the best arc is at the end, like the last four episodes.
I feel like it's all one arc, me personally.
Yeah, I'm not good. I don't need
it's pretty through line.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. So yeah, I picked, that's why I picked season one, One Punch Man. I feel like episode 1 through 12 was super, super fire. I feel like I enjoyed, I laughed. The animation was some of the best animation I've seen in anime in a very, very, very long time. Fight scenes were super dope. Gave a super dope character. And was it Mugen Rider? What's his name?
Mugen Rider.
We got one of the best, worst side characters in history of anime riding this damn bicycle out there. And I enjoyed it through and through. I think that's, I went back to some of the fight scenes in that show. I went back to just watching that show. It's an easy, digestible watch. In my personal opinion. And I already feel like everybody else is going to go with the typical, whatever they're going to go with. But yeah, that's my number one out of the arcs.
All right, I'll take the Frieza arc in Dragon Ball Z. I didn't want to, but...
Why? You're second. You can take whatever you want.
I know, but I just have to.
On my list at all.
No, me, the reason is, though, like,
It's the longest fucking arc, too.
No, it's a long arc, but the thing is, like, everybody remembers the first time they saw a Super Saiyan. Like, this is the moment that, like, really changed you. It changed anime. Like, in this arc, build up to it. And it's like, it was long, but it built up to something that was worthwhile because it imprinted on all of us for the rest of our lives.
So you're saying it's a legendary arc.
It is one of the most legendary arcs in anime. Okay. There's no question about it.
I would argue that it might not be the best arc in Dragon Ball Z.
Well, I think you can argue that the Cell Saga.
I feel like the Cell Saga mixed in, especially if you include the androids. No, but the thing is, it's a better arc than Frieza.
No, it was funny. The thing is, that's actually what I was literally just over here thinking about. Do I pick the Cell Saga or do I pick the Frieza Saga? And what puts the Frieza Saga over the edge for me is two things. Number one, the way Krillin gets killed. I think
which time
in the Frieza saga.
No, I know. I'm just saying. He gets like impaled. I know. Like, thrown on the ground. Then he gets exploded.
He gets exploded. Yeah, he gets exploded. Yeah, but I'm saying that, and just like the epicness of the first time seeing a Super Saiyan. Like, there's nothing that compares to that. Nothing else ever happens,
bro,
in any anime to me that compares to the first time you see a Super Saiyan, the way he transformed, the way that I know all you motherfuckers were screaming at the screen. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, what else has ever made you that hype?
Let me ask you this then. I personally think Gohan's Super Saiyan 2 transformation versus Cell, I replay that 1,000 times more.
No, the thing is, I think
that's more of a hyped.
I think it's doper. But it's not. It's doper in the sense of like, this is he's Super Saiyan 2 now, and he's like taking over this mantle from his dad. But it wouldn't be dope if there wasn't Goku.
A mantle to take.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like this, Goku set the stage for all anime protagonists after him with his Super Saiyan transformation.
Dragon Ball Z set the stage for anime.
They did.
But
the thing is, when you talk about Dragon Ball Z, and you're like, is there one moment in this show? It's like, that's the moment. You know what I'm saying? It's like everybody, like it's arguably, obviously, because there was a lot of moments in Dragon Ball Z, but I would argue that this is the moment. This is the moment where he ascended to a level.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Of Aryan racehood.
And you got to think about this. What?
I mean, what?
You never heard
that's how you ended it?
You never heard that argument? It's just funny.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. It's it for me, that's like picking, like, you know, saying like Godfather 1 over Godfather 2 or like you know, A New Hope over Empire Strikes Back. Like sometimes the sequel is better.
Yeah.
But there's not a sequel without the original.
And I think for you, for all of this, Frieza had these motherfuckers in
shook.
Yeah.
Frieza had everybody shook. And you remember, the thing is, like, do you guys not remember, like, how that saga felt? Like, when's the last time you went back and watched it? Like, if you watch it as Kai, it's like, do you remember how many levels this motherfucker had?
Yeah.
Like, I think Cell learned from Frieza. Cell did the same exact shit Frieza did.
And I think, too, nobody, I think, since Frieza, every time that they've had a fight since Frieza, you felt like, okay, something can happen where they can beat this guy.
Yep.
When Frieza happened, it's like, how the fuck are they going to beat this guy? I haven't seen nobody since Frieza where it's just like, Boo was close.
Yeah. Boo was the problem. Boo was like, what?
How the fuck are they going to beat this person? But I think the level of how the fuck
I didn't like the Boo saga that much.
No.
It was too much bullshit in the beginning.
Boo saga was tough.
But I think Frieza was the first and last antagonist in Dragon Ball Z how are they going to beat this man?
And Frieza's a racist. Like, you fucking monkeys, I'm going to kill you. Like, I'm just saying, like, for me, like you're saying, like, if you remember, just to give you guys, take you back down memory lane for a second, do you guys remember, level one Frieza before anything was, like, just killing motherfuckers and destroying the entire planet, you know what I'm saying, of Vegeta? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, all right, moves up to level two, and it's just a giant with the big horns, and, like, Piccolo's like, I ascended to, like, this giant level to win.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And then Frieza was like, oh, that's...
I feel great.
Frieza was like, that's crazy. Here's another level for you guys. Yeah. And nobody could fuck with me. He's like, all right, every time somebody could fuck with Frieza, Frieza was like, say less.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just like, there was nobody, like, Frieza was like, I have so many power levels to me.
He shook Vegeta so many times. And then,
killed Vegeta. Like, killed the shit out of Vegeta. Vegeta's like, I'm a Super Saiyan.
I mean, I guess I like that arc because it's the last time that Vegeta got a real win. And then was that arc.
Yeah, because he killed the purple dude. Yeah, I mean, that's Zarbon. But then even the other thing is like you remember when Goku, like how boss Goku was when he showed up, took out the Ginyu Force, then got healed, and then fucking buried Vegeta with his eyes. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, Goku about to give this man the fucking business. Frieza whooped Goku's ass and killed his best friend in front of him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
in front of his son.
In front of him and his son, who his son is best friends with now, too.
And then shot Piccolo, like, basically gave him a kill shot.
Yeah.
Kill shotted Piccolo with that. He barely limped off that planet.
Yeah. And so, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you think about that arc, it's one of the most epic arcs because it sets up how all the rest of these arcs work.
You're not wrong with that because, like, almost every villain after Frieza has been a kind of a variation of that formula. Of like, he's got forms, he's got other levels.
Kill somebody.
We got to get another form to beat that form.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where it's just like I know I was comparing like Frieza to like Godfather 1, but obviously like there's the Saiyan saga before that, which was like almost an entirely different show.
Yeah.
Like it was like obviously they had forms with the Kaioken and like you know,
it wasn't even close.
Yeah. But it was almost not even the same thing.
Mm. Yeah.
So, and I think too. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah. Rob, you're right.
Based off of shows we've seen, listen, it's there, so I feel like I got to take it. I'm going to go with the Entertainment District arc of the shows. Ooh,
yeah,
some of the ones we've watched, like, the animation is, like, unmatched. You know,
this is for reference. This is for Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer. The season, this is episodes 8 through 18, season 2 of Demon Slayer. Some of the best animation, you know, I've seen in an anime, TV show, or movie.
Agreed.
Some great moments for all the main cast. You know, Tanjiro combines his breathing.
Oh, you mean when they all dress up like girls?
That was not what I was talking about. Zenitsu had his Godspeed moment. Inosuke sawing through the demon's neck. Nezuko even had her evolved form. Great villains with understandable and relatable backstory when you found out about why they were the way they were. You're like, I mean, honestly, I kind of get it.
Yep.
Had a really fun Shira character in Tengen. And dramatic moments. I mean, when you thought, like, Brennan, like, how hurt were you after that one episode where you saw Tengen on the ground
and
then
cut off.
Inosuke just getting completely impaled? Mm-hmm. And they did a great job even teasing the danger.
Did you guys enjoy my pain when you guys knew what was going
to
happen?
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I was going through it. Yeah. I was going through it.
You don't even know.
I was like, this is my boy. This is my boy. This is my guy. You know,
I didn't want to say anything at the time because I'm just like, you know, just hang in there, Brennan. Yeah, just hang in there.
You thought he was out.
Hell yeah.
But
that's
even
what they implied, obviously.
Mm. Oh yeah, but even just to see like that moment when Tengen sees the score of the fight comes back at him,
crazy.
Even after he's
with
come back
one
up
hand.
With one hand, is dope. Even having like Tanjiro get, you know, hit in the mouth and just like fighting for his life when he thinks he's the last one out there. Like it's just a great arc. You get I mean, Demon Slayer is one of those shows where it just keeps getting better and better. Yep. And so of what we've watched, I feel like this is one of the tops top arcs we've watched. And I mean, I'm just saying it's only going to get better.
Do you guys rock with Tengen for quitting? Like, do you understand why he quit? Watching all of that, watching the Entertainment District, are you like, I see why he quit?
Yes.
He was planning on quitting before that.
He got three wives,
like, after
bro.
This, we're done.
Badass wife.
He got three bad wives. He got enough to do now. He had enough to do before. Now he lost an eye. You know what I'm saying? He lost an eye and lost a hand. Like, it's like, and he killed one of the upper ranks demons. Like, what else is he going to accomplish? Like, he's not going to be able to take out another demon like this. He's not going to be able to do it.
In the form, in the state that he's
yeah,
in.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to do it. He might as well go ahead and procreate.
The serpent pillar was not having it. He like, bro, get your ass up, bro. Yeah. What the fuck?
What's he gonna do out there now?
Like, yeah, serpent pillar is what?
He was just like, bro, get your ass up, dog. What'd you think, Kenan? Do you think that he was whack for retiring, or you understand where you're coming from?
I mean, I think Rob and I kind of discussed this when we did the we ranked our pillars and stuff like that, and we was like, he's a fucking quitter. He's a bitch. But all in all, I mean, you lost an arm and eye. How much can you really do? You struggled against this demon.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able. I mean, we can't speak on what's going to happen, but like, what is he going to do? In the second half of this
upper
show?
Six.
Yeah.
It only gets crazier.
You have
from
six
here
more people to fight.
Yeah. He's not. He's a casualty. Right. When he walks out there in the field.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, did,
he's like, I can hear the sounds of the. Like,
He's a liability.
He's out of there. Yeah. He's out of there. So yeah. I mean, as much as I think he's a bitch for quitting,
I think he a hoe.
And for me, my thing is too.
Really.
My thing is, I'm confused because Brennan is real big on quitting. He's like, you quit anything. He's like, you fucking quit. No matter what, you quit.
Well, the thing is, like, I don't feel like
he had a plan going in. He was like, this
I don't
is my
feel like
last
he
job.
Quit.
I'm done. He was retiring.
That's
anyway.
What I'm saying. Okay. I don't feel like he
that's
quit.
Fair.
The thing it is, wasn't like, shit, this was too hard for me. I'm quitting.
Yeah, exactly. He would have been a quitter if he would have laid there and act like he was dead for real. And then let Tandro get washed. Let him go.
Just
that's
like
a quitter.
Looking at everyone. He thought about it. He was like, oh, he said, oh, shit. He whipped in their ass.
I think Tanjiro's got this.
He's
I'm like, just going to lay down a little
he's
bit
like,
more.
If they 5 years still alive, they're going to be on my ass.
I don't qualify. I don't qualify him as a quitter because it's like he followed through on what he said he would do. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like he did it and he said he was going to retire. Like he did exactly what he said he was going to do. That's not quitting. That's doing your job.
He
pulled a
Danny Glover.
Yeah, he did his job. He's like, all right, I did my job. And not only did I do my job, I'm not even capable of doing my job at the level I was doing it before. And level I was doing it before, I took out the weakest of the top rank. Like like you said, I'm only going to get in the way of these motherfuckers moving forward. Yeah. Like the best thing I could really think that you could hope that he could do now is like train some more people.
Yeah.
And procreate.
Do recon maybe.
Yeah.
Make more little ninja babies.
Yeah. Tear them up.
All right. That's my pick for my is Entertainment District Arc from Demon Slayer.
Go ahead, Ice.
Mine's were really specific. My first one, I guess since I got back-to-back picks, I get to do both of my picks. But the first one is the Thorkell arc of Vinland Saga.
Damn
I feel
it!
Like that shit was hard.
Yeah.
That shit was hard.
That was actually my first pick, and then I backtracked to something, the other one.
It's a good one.
Yeah, Thorkell, man, that dude was a monster. I think one of those, we didn't get Park Mugen. I think that was the biggest thing. We saw a bit of him in the beginning of it, and then they hyped him up, and it was like, bro, if we got to go run into Thorkell, like, it's going to be problems. I'm like, bro, this Thorkell dude better be the shit. Then you see his demeanor, how big he is, it's like, okay, let's see it. And then you fucking saw it. You saw a lot of it. And what I think the dopest part about Thorkell to me is that he wasn't just a dumb brute. Like, he was a tactician. He knew how to, when they was in the woods, he smoked them out in the woods. He was like, bro, I got this all shit all planned out. So I think for him to have the strength of way, be way more powerful than Askeladd, way more powerful than Thorfinn, but also have the tactical knowledge of a Askeladd was really dope. And then to see the fight at the end with Thorkell and Thorfinn. Mm. Well, first it was Askeladd and Thorfinn, and he got him up out of there. He was like, bro, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop. Get that shit up out of here. Then for him to see Thorfinn, and he was so happy to see Thorfinn. He was like, hey, what's up, Thorfinn? Like, I'm like, your dad never talked about me? What's up, man? Come on, dog.
They're related. He's like, I'm your great uncle.
He's like, come on, bro. I'm your Thor's is my man. And he was like, all right. And it was so dope how he put it, too, because he was like, well, I'm going to tell you more about your dad, but you got to keep fighting me. And you got to show me that you're even worthy for this information.
Yeah.
And I thought that was dope.
Lost two fingers or something like that, right?
He fucked him up. Well, he lost his eye. So then that was dope, too, because I think one of the dopest scenes when he was fighting Thorfinn, he knocked Thorfinn, like, into a fucking tree.
Yep.
And then Thorfinn was like, fucking let's go. I got this. Let's go. And like everybody was silent, including Askeladd. And Askeladd was like, bro, look. He was like, what? I'm ready to go. And he looked and his fucking arm was broke. Like, the shit was just dangling, and Thorfinn was like, what the fuck? And he was just like, yeah, let me help you. Mm-hmm. Let me help you fix your shit, put that shit in the sling, and told him, like, hey, this is Thorkell's weak point. Like, the only time that I ever seen this motherfucker, Thorkell, get swashed was in this one fight, and somebody hit him, and I think it was like his
ear.
His ear. Yeah, and it was like, that's it, and this is how you win, and I'm gonna help you, because he like shined up the sword, blinded Thorkell, and then he kicked him right in his ear, and he like gave him vertical, I guess, and dropped him. And then all his homies, like all the Thorkell's minions, came up and was trying to kill him, and then Thorkell was like, nah, fam, like we had a deal.
Yeah,
he said he beat me, and it was dope too. That was some gangster shit on Thorkell's part, because like he was like, I'll let you fix your arm up. Like, somebody give me a chair. I'm going to sit right here, let Thorfinn get his little sling shit together, and we're going to run it back. And I was like, this dude is fucking gangster.
I don't know. He's not technically a villain.
No,
real,
no, right? I wouldn't call him a villain. He's not a villain. I like him.
Thorkell's great. Yeah.
Thorkell's dope. And he was
he's
funny.
He's about to smoke. That's really easy. Like, where's the fight?
Yeah, he went to join the English because he was like, they're losing, so they got the harder fight. I'm going to side with them because I just want a harder fight.
Yeah.
One of my other favorite Thorkell moments is when Askeladd, like, is on the run from Thorkell.
Yeah.
And, like, a bunch of his men are just, like, abandoning him. They're flipping sides, and they're just like, let's go up to Thorkell, and, like, he'll give us, you know, we'll flip sides. We'll go over to him and help him. Mm. They roll up, and Thorkel's like, what the fuck would I want with a bunch of people that just turned Ko on their leader? And he kills them all to a man.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want any traitors on my team.
That's
I'm good.
Hard.
That's
like,
I gotta respect him for that.
And that's dope. And I think that Thorkell is, to this day, one of my favorite just overall anime characters, because it's like, I'm with the shits, I'm hella funny, and I'm smart. Because usually they play those big guys up to be dumb, and he wasn't dumb. And I like the fact that he was a tactician just as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good pick.
What's your next one?
What's your second pick?
Back-to-backs.
Oh, yeah, I do have back-to-back. I just said that,
back-to-back.
Too. I think that the veteran arc on Megalobox, that shit was fucking hard.
Yes.
That shit, I mean,
gonna fight.
They opened up. They open up with him getting in war, because it's like, we boxing. What the fuck are we doing here? Like, why are we in the middle of a war zone?
Yeah, they directed the shit out of this arc.
They did.
And
they
then did. He gets blown up, and you think he's gone. Then they tell his story. He come back and fight, and it's just like, who do I mean, Gearless Joe, because at this point, this is deep end. It's like middle or towards the end. So, like, Gearless Joe is our guy.
Yeah.
Gearless Joe is our guy. We know what he's fighting for. We know what he's up against. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know who I want to win this fight at this point, because you saw his backstory and then how he came, and then he was like, he was training with the back alley fucking coach and shit. And it's like, nah, he came back basically from the dead in the back alley manager eyes. And now he got to fight this dude. And it's just like, it's one of those Killmonger moments where it's like, I don't know who I root for in this fight. And he's talking to, like, he's fucking talking to Gearless Joe in the fight, and it's like, you got to feel this. And they keep doing these fucking flashbacks to his time in the war, and it's just like, yo, like, I think that was like a turning point. And then the direction throughout that entire, especially for anime, I think direction is sometimes slept on, but they made you feel everything.
Yeah.
Throughout that entire arc, you felt him being in war. They made you like this character in such a short period of time, because I don't even think this was four episodes. I mean, maybe three or four at best.
Yeah. The whole season was only 13, I think.
Yeah. So I think his arc was maybe 3 to 4 episodes, and you felt everything that they wanted you to feel. You felt it in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
And I think for them to be able to pull that off, and then the fight living up to that, because it was a really close fight. And it was a really good fight, animated, directed-wise, everything.
I think probably the best fight of the show.
The best fight of the show, Because it was you know, all the backstory and how it was executed, super dope. So I think that stuck with me for a long... I mean, we watched that in, what, 2019?
A while ago.
2018? Yeah. So I think for me, and when I was going through the list, I knew it. Like, right when I saw it, that I knew it.
He also had one of the coldest lines that we've seen in a show, like, when he first ran into the coach and didn't really know it was up yet, and he, like, as it was slowly coming out that he's like, oh, he's got a grudge that he's holding against this guy. He's like, by the way, I hear you got, like, a new guy. I'm going to fucking break him in front of you.
Yeah.
I'm going to destroy that man.
I break you.
It was just like, right from the get-go, you knew this guy had it out for Gearless Joe. Just not even because of who Gearless Joe was, but because of the history he had with the coach. And it was just like, hey, man, like, no, sorry, like, you got in the way of this,
You're
but I have to destroy
collateral
you.
Collateral damage, yeah. I think that was a dope ass arc. I think that's what makes arcs so great. It's like, what can you get done in this amount of time that's going to make me feel something?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think those two arcs, you know, and they're kind of opposite ends of the spectrum, but both of them really made me, you know, enjoy the anime. Because I think I was enjoying both of those animes until that point, but seeing both of those arcs put them on another level for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good choice, Rob.
My second pick. Yeah, sure. I'm going to call this, it's not technically, I guess it's technically an arc. I'm going to call this the L arc from Death Note. This is episodes 1 through 25. It's the first half or first two thirds of Death Note.
Some of the best anime ever made.
Pretty much right up into the point where, you know, spoilers, but we've covered the show, where L gets taken out by Light. But this is when Death Note was at its best. You know, this is what people, I think, tune into Death Note for, is this first stretch of episodes. The cat and mouse game between Light and L is some of the best non-action anime we've covered on the show.
Yep. Sure.
Light getting the action anime while writing down the names, eating a bag of chips is like so great. Like, what a great moment. But even just hearing, like, you know, kind of learning about the world and, like, kind of seeing how they kept, like, outdoing each other, like, and but, like, my favorite part, and it's still one of my favorite anime moments to this day, is L stealing Misa's phone and catching Light trying to call her. When he, like, kind of catches them all on the college campus together, and he starts, like, laughing because he knows at that point, like, I already know this girl is guilty, and I already know she's following around whoever the real Kira is.
And then
to see him with Light together, and he just starts laughing, swipes her phone off of her, and so when Light walks away and it's just like, I gotta call her to, like, fucking give her the business, he calls, and then they turn around and L is holding the phone in his hand. He's just like, oh, who's this? Hello? Oh, that's weird. This is the phone of the girl that we just had put in cuffs. Why are you calling her? What's up with that? Just so, such a great moment,
bro.
And even Light's counter move to make himself forget.
Oh my god. So oh my god, that just, was so, like, following that is just like,
and they had that moment too where they were like kind of buddy buddy, where it's just like, oh, we're all teaming up to find out who Kira is, and it's just like, there came a point where I'm just like, man, maybe they'll put their differences aside.
Dog,
oh, that's even back.
That was up to where the helicopter was too, right? We find out in the helicopter, and he was just like, like, everything came back. That shit was crazy. I mean, we give L his props or Light his props too. The writer of the fucking show.
Yeah.
So good. We got to give him. Yep.
That just brought back so many parts of the show that I liked.
I think it was smooth, too, like, crazy. In the very beginning, when I think I forgot who it was, but she was like somebody's daughter or somebody's wife or
I think it was girlfriend. Yeah.
Girlfriend. Yeah. Like, when he was talking to her, and then she was like, he basically told her, like, I'm ill and I'm about to kill you.
Like, he was like, I'm Kira. I'm about to kill you. Yeah. Here's what's about to happen.
Yeah, he kill herself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And she's just sitting there like, what? Like, that was a cold ass moment because she gave him something.
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh, okay. Oh, this is your name. Oh, okay. Well, I forgot the.
Like, tried to convince her that he was on the team to find Kira and got her ID.
Exactly. Like, that's what it was. I just remember her handing her something.
And she walked off
And he told him, he was like, you're going to kill yourself and there's nothing that you can do about it.
Just wrote it down.
And she was just like, no, what? And she just started turning around and walking, and I was like, damn.
Never to be seen again. Rough.
Great fucking pick.
And then you don't usually see the bad guys win. They did on this one.
And it wasn't the same show after he got up.
After that, it was.
Who was it, an N or whatever? Near?
Near and N. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were dope, but they weren't on the
list. They were okay. The same. Yeah. But after it was just like, once L was gone, like, ugh.
You essentially gave it, the next character was essentially L, but then he just ended up winning.
Yeah.
That's all it was. It was like, oh, we might have killed him off too early. That's how I felt. Great pick, Rob. Brennan, you're up next.
I'm going to go with the Kyoto Goodwill event arc. That's from Jujutsu Kaisen.
Oh.
That's when the Black Flash was introduced, as well as, you know, the homie with the claps.
Yeah.
With the claps.
I'm just saying, when you talk about action and getting after it with good writing, good character development, and, like, you know, power development as well, it doesn't get much better than this. That's the reason why Jujutsu Kaisen, like, skyrocketed to the popularity that it has so quickly, is because of, honestly, I would say this arc right here.
Yeah.
This is when we see Gojo get after it. You know what I'm saying? That's when he splits the guy with the snapping.
Turn him into a purple
destruction.
Yeah.
Turn him into a coat rack.
So this is the tournament between the schools? Is this what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's like the tournament that got, like, invaded, and then you know, they fought the tree motherfucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, you had everything. Don't you had the curse move. You had the cursed items, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have, it just was intense.
Blast away.
You know, that arc was, it's exactly that arc, this arc right here is as
when it comes down to, like I said, action, character development, world building, like they do everything top tier in this arc.
Yeah.
This is what made this show, and this show is arguably one of the best anime that's being made right now.
Yeah.
And you know, and this is the best part of that show.
Can he catch Demon Slayer?
I don't know, because I don't
know
what you guys
know. Can it dethrone him, I guess?
Can it dethrone Demon Slayer? It's so different, you know, because for me, it's like, I'm watching Demon Slayer, and I'm, like, engrossed in it, because I'm just, like, this whole storyline and everything and these characters. Or I'm watching Jujutsu Kaisen, and I'm just like, I am insanely entertained right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a different feeling. You know, that
I think it's Drake and Kendrick, I think, is, like...
Yeah, because...
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Like, I'd say Jujutsu is Drake, and Demon Slayer is
Drake. Because Drake is bigger than Kendrick. So I would say,
yeah, I know, but Demon I'm just Slayer because of the way the show is. I'm talking about their artistry, not necessarily the show.
Yeah, Jujutsu is not definitely.
It doesn't have the depth
of
Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer.
They've only got a season and a movie, yeah.
Bro.
They
like, let's just
time.
Even just talk about like time, the train arc when like he had to kill himself all the times, bro. Like there's nothing in Jujutsu like that.
Yeah, the main character had to kill himself.
Who? Yeah, Yuji at one point, like
he had to kill him. Well, he had to let himself die.
He let Sukuna get control of him, and essentially, like, doesn't he rip his own heart out?
Yeah.
No, his heart gets ripped out.
His heart gets ripped out.
He basically dies, and then
Sukuna saves him.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's not like, you know, it's not the same. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying the show isn't intense.
I'm talking about stature.
All I'm saying is, like, no, I understand what you're saying. All I'm saying is that, like, I had a visceral reaction to him killing himself. Like,
Demon Slayer definitely had.
I was like, what in the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, because it made you feel like you were doing it with him, you know? And Jujutsu Kaisen doesn't have that feeling. Jujutsu Kaisen is like, I'm watching some crazy entertaining shit. Yeah. And like Demon Slayer, at times you feel like you're Tanjiro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're just like, fuck, like these decisions. My family, like my sister.
Yeah,
like,
well, you know, because
like,
he's walking away from everything he's ever wanted, which is his family back.
So, yeah, but that's I say Jujutsu Kaisen, that arc is just was some of the most fun I've ever had watching any anime. Yeah. And I think that makes an incredible, epic, legendary arc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Kenan.
Last pick. I thought about Demon Slayer. Train arc. I'm gonna go with My Hero Academia overhaul.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a good. That's Lemillion.
Yeah, we got to see Lemillion for the first time. Woo, get active. Lemillion. Be one of the dopest. But then lost his fucking powers. We got to see death. This is like a show that didn't really show death like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what's his name? You know his
Night Eye
dies. I'm thinking he's
that
not
shit
gonna.
Was...
That shit was sad. That was the
I
most...
didn't see that coming.
Didn't see it coming either. Motherfucker got impaled and he didn't recover.
Wait,
there's
another guy who died too in that arc. Remember the very beginning of the arc? Overhaul touched one of the League of
oh,
Villains.
Oh, one of the villain guys. Yeah, he just ruptured apart. He never
brought him back.
Yeah, and they also killed another hero, but he was a minor guy. When the League of Villains shows up and they went after Overhaul, they killed somebody else on the highway.
Well, what's funny is that that's actually one of my favorite things about My Hero is that I really was under the belief that My Hero was a show where people weren't going to die.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's why.
They waited four seasons for it, too.
Yeah. So that's why when that arc happened and then people were like, all right, people were dying and people that you kind of started to like died, especially Night Eye. Like, I felt like I kind of liked him. I think he was pretty dope. And I was like, when he died, I was pretty hurt by that. And then Lemillion losing his powers, I was just like, yo, and he's still, at least as of
they
right
had
now.
He had to lose his powers. He was too powerful.
He was too powerful.
He was OP.
But it's like, but and then
who's gonna fuck with Lemillion?
Yeah. And right now, it seems like he hasn't got him back yet.
No, he hasn't.
And it's just
I don't think he's gonna get him back.
And I'm like, I'm sad from that. Like, I'm hurt because he quickly became him and Todoroki are two of my favorite characters in the show. And it's like now this guy pretty much is not gonna be able to get active anymore in the show.
Yeah, remember when he lit up the whole first class, the whole class
by himself.
Lemillion's like, oh, you guys want the smoke? I will beat all of you.
And did it with a smile too. He didn't sweat. He wasn't like, oh shit, they kind of get me. He's just like, you guys are, oh man, oh.
You guys did a really good job. Yeah. Good job, guys. You know, he fucked them up. And
but,
it's
then,
just like,
yeah. But then you know, them fighting Overhaul, and you know, we get the chance to finally see a Deku go 100%.
Yes.
And that, to me, that's still one of my favorite scenes out of that whole show when he fights him. And he's just like, smash! And he socks this dude. Mm. And socks is pretty much this dude's jaw off. The animation doing that whole, I feel like that
that's
whole
crazy.
Arc, the story of that arc.
How he could fly just by kicking.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. The stakes, I feel like that's still the highest stakes of that show. I feel like that show hasn't reached that peak since. I haven't caught up those last.
It's better than a lot of the other stuff, but it's not that same.
No, but
it's
not supposed to be the same.
No.
It's more of a, like, it's a setup. It's a setup because I'll say this. Right now, where My Hero Academia is, it might be one of the best arcs possible that's about to happen. Mm. Like, I'm just saying, it's...
Season five, this last season was definitely table setting, but where they left off and where the villains get to.
Yeah. Good lord, bro. It's like a, and I don't this doesn't give too much away, but it's pretty much just like My Villain Academia.
Mm. Oh, this particular one.
Yeah, so it's just like,
which is a real manga.
We've seen the heroes, we've seen the heroes level up, and now the villains level up, and all I'll say is that right now, my money's on the villains.
They are going to be a problem.
My money is on the fucking villains.
So I should definitely catch up.
Like with all of Deku's new powers, like, and even if Lemillion was around right now, I would still give it.
Even with Lemillion being around,
I would still give it.
It would
to
be
the
tough because I mean, you talk about like how this show, you didn't think it was going to be a show that got that dark. When they get into the backstory of the disintegration dude, it is like some of the darkest shit I have seen in anime.
Yeah, it is.
Is Shao Tucker dark? Wow.
It's
some of the darkest shit.
Oh, wow.
It is some of the darkest shit.
I couldn't believe that it was happening on that show.
Like, that's what I say. It is.
I don't want to hype it up too much, but
No, it is extremely dark.
I kind of want to watch it now.
Let's put it this way. Like, motherfuckers die. A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean.
That's a good way to put it, right, Rob?
Rob's not just.
That's
like,
a very gentle way of putting it. How about that?
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like that arc still is the peak of that show. The first real stakes of that show. And, you know, like I said, I've seen some spoilers, but I've seen some more recent spoilers with Todoroki.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, my guy. Not like that, but.
Don't say that. Come on, man.
No, I'm not.
You already spoiled ranking of kings.
He's straight. All right. But yeah, they start to go ham in these next few chapters. But, yeah,
looking
man.
Forward
so,
to it.
So now those are all our arcs that we put laid out there. Let's rank them. You want to rank them from worst, or at least I guess from the bottom to the top.
Yeah, and I can run through our picks real quick here. Keenan had season one of One Punch Man. Brennan had Freeze arc from DBZ. I picked the Entertainment District arc. Ice had Thorkel arc from Vinland Saga. Then the Veteran arc from Megalobox. I had the L arc from Death Note. Brennan had Jujutsu Kaisen, Kyoto Goodwill arc, and Keenan had the Overhaul arc from My Hero Academia. So those are our 8 that we're dealing with.
Okay. So let's. I guess my pick was first. How we want to vote this in? Do we want to vote? How we vote?
You can't vote on your own stuff, right?
Well, if we're starting from the bottom, like, do we want to just say, like, all right, here's what we think is kind of the. I mean, somebody can start off. I mean, it could be a conversation. We could start out with like
who do we think is number 8?
I gotta be honest. I'll just put it out there. What I think is number 8. Is probably season one of One Punch Man.
Yeah, One Punch Man would be mine.
Hey, man, y'all can go fuck yourselves.
One Punch Man was my pick, too.
Out of all those. It's a great season.
I feel like the show was great. But I think you guys did pick some strong arcs. Y'all some bitch-ass motherfuckers for just throwing my shit on the grill.
But that was your first pick, too, right?
Because I was going to pick Demon Slayer. I had the Entertainment District arc. But it was just that and Vinland Saga. But it was just like... I didn't want to
take the Thor's arc in the Vinland Saga. I was thinking about that.
I was thinking of taking the Canute arc, like towards the very end, right after what you were talking about, where he essentially is just like, because just to say what the other ones I had on my list was, Canute basically finally getting
not
into who he was supposed to be, like the finish to the end of that to get like Askeladd's whole reveal, and all that was really cool.
Yeah.
I had the Claw arc from Mob Psycho episode, like the end of season
that
one
was
of Mob
that
Psycho.
That was another one of my picks.
Yeah. And then I had the Junpei arc, which was just before from Jujutsu Kaisen, which is just before the tournament.
Oh, yeah,
where they had Yuji's friend that they had him up in the opening
back.
And all that. Fight back scene.
Yeah.
You had Mahito. You had, what's his name? One of my favorite side characters, Nanami, on that show. The introduction to him was really dope. But anyway, I don't want those aren't on there. Those
you should
just
cosplay as Nanami.
I could do that, yeah.
That'd be dope. That'd be hard-ass
cosplay.
I'd
have to lose the beard, though.
Then you should not do it.
You could work it into it.
Yeah, I feel like you can make it work. Yeah.
I'm Nanami on unemployment.
Yeah, man. he wishes he was.
But, I mean, I'm not going to fight you guys on it. I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh, man, because it's my pick. But I out of those, I can see that being the weaker one. So, I mean, we can put that at number 8.
What's number 7? What was your...
I can't even remember.
Is Keaton's second pick?
No.
Wait, what was Keenan's second pick?
The overall arc.
I don't think that's
the one you just stopped talking about.
Nah.
Yeah.
At number 7.
It's hard to remember all these arcs. That's what my problem is.
List them off again.
So what we have left is Frieza arc, Entertainment.
That's the Frieza arc at number
7. Entertainment District arc. Thorkel arc.
He's just a hater.
Veteran arc. L arc. Kyoto Goodwill arc. And Overhaul arc.
The one that stood out to me for that was Thorkell.
I was gonna go either Frieza or Thorkell.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Frieza.
I bet you are.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with you, Keenan.
Because Frieza, it's like that wasn't even that might not even be the second best arc in that saga, like in that whole thing. I was just saying arc is probably even better than that one.
If you separate the Android arc from Cell Saga, and I'll put the Android arc over Frieza arc.
And I get what you're saying in the sense of like him turning a Super Saiyan, and that's essentially the benchmark of that's
influential for sure.
For sure, but it's like there's so many more better moments in my personal opinion.
I'm not picking
Jerry
argument.
West over Russell Westbrook.
I mean, yeah.
Depends on when you're playing, but. Mm-hmm.
It does.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I've never picked Jerry West over Russell Westbrook. But yeah, because I mean, yeah, I will put. If you're talking about even Dragon Ball just Z, not even bringing Super into it. If you're talking about Dragon Ball Z, I'm probably picking the Cell Saga first. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm probably picking the Saiyan Saga second, and then you know, that last stretch of the Buu arc was super dope. To be honest, from Gohan and from Super Gohan and Mr. Gohan and above. And then I would probably put Frieza either there or right behind that. So I get. Here's the thing: your argument is legit in the sense of like I'm not arguing that.
It was a catalyst.
But there's so many better moments still. Yes, it set the standard for anime in general. But it's
people
still,
did it better.
People just didn't end up doing it better. Their own show did it better.
Yeah.
So
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I would have to put Frieza at number seven. Somebody put Megalobox at seven.
That's right.
Luke Skywalker put Megalobox at seven. But
all you can go fuck yourselves.
Yeah.
You okay. You're not last, motherfucker. I'm last, bitch. All right, so what you complaining about? You made it past that.
I mean, we all know how competitive I am.
What's number six, Rob?
So number six, we still. So
what's your number six, Rob?
What we have of what we have left, what we were just discussing, I'd probably have to put Thorkell arc next.
What's left on there?
We've got.
Can you just name all the rest?
Entertainment District arc, Thorkell arc, Veteran arc, L arc, Kyoto Goodwill arc, and Overhaul arc. I would probably have to go Thorkell off.
I would have to go either the Overhaul or the Jujutsu Kaisen.
Overhaul.
I don't know. It just maybe, and I didn't watch Overhaul like seamlessly. Like I watched it in pieces, so it just didn't hit how it should have.
My thinking about it is like it's not even necessarily that the Thorkell arc is bad. It's an entertaining arc, but like it's not necessarily a complete story. Like it's a part
right.
of mm-hmm. the larger season. You know what I mean? So all that to say, like it kind of takes you to a point, but you don't necessarily get the resolution.
Yeah, I think you can even possibly interchange that or the Frieza one. 7 and 6, but yeah, I'll put
it's
that
close.
At 6. Yeah, I think it's close. I'll put that at 6 also.
But just based off pure entertainment value, I think I put Thorkell arc a bit above that.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Okay.
Everybody got their pick just like.
This is personal, man. Nobody was like, man, fuck
nobody
you.
Wasn't be. Nobody wasn't to get their thing pick, but I feel like I took the biggest hit. I took
your first pick is the last.
My first pick was the last in the bottom of the barrel. That hurt.
You had an Anthony Bennett. It's okay.
Yeah. Yo, where did he go, bro? He was out in like a season. That's crazy. So what do we have left, Rob? At 5.
So we've got entertainment, veteran L. Kyoto Goodwill and Overhaul is left.
I'm going Overhaul again.
I'm going Veteran.
I was going to say Veteran actually.
I'm going Veteran because
it's both of y'all.
It's not. It's
is
not
that yours?
Much. Yeah,
both
but
of
it's not.
Them.
Much.
I was in yes, Veteran.
Veteran. It's not much in there to be honest. It's like yeah, we had
it's
that small
short.
Piece, but it's so short. It's just like
it's an arc.
It's well done.
Yeah, it's like two episodes.
It
it's well
made
done.
You feel in a short period of time.
I did feel, but at
you,
the end
Overhaul is longest. That's like 20 episodes.
Overhaul's a fucking incredible arc.
It's 20 episodes plus.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe you should add some more episodes.
It gave depth, though. It gave you more characters. It gave you some storytelling in there. It gave you depth in an anime.
This hurts me to say, but I gotta agree. Like, I think it might be the veteran arc. What's left?
Trash.
And it's
Ice is the first one out, guys. Let's go ahead and clap it up. He's the first one.
I didn't do it for that. I don't know. Brennan did.
That's
Brennan
actually,
did it to get out of
I don't care
here.
Anymore now. Yeah. I don't even care what
happened.
Like, man,
well,
take
go,
me out
I
now.
Bow,
I don't care.
Bow out?
Go.
Trash.
Coach put me on the bench. I've won what I wanted to.
Trash.
Damn.
But yeah, I mean, I would agree just because one, the arc, if Megalobox was a longer season, like probably like a 26 episode season, and they gave that more to more build up. I think you have a legit argument with that. I think there's a legit
but
argument.
But the fact that they did that, I mean, the picky is what it is. It's not changing. But I'm just saying, it's just like, the fact that they were able to accomplish that in such a short period of time versus Overhaul had 20 fucking episodes.
It's a great stretch of episodes. It's
because some of those Overhaul episodes were snoozers.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I mean, nothing's gonna hit all the way. Just like Entertainment District arc, there was some snoozers in there. It's like at the end of the day, it wasn't necessarily none of the arcs are perfect.
Was it
throughout? Yeah. I mean, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the whole Entertainment District from like when it starts from them being in there dressed up as girls and doing stuff. There was some
stuff. Yeah, it dragged at the start.
It dragged a little bit. Right. But then it picked up and it fucking picked up. It was just that's what happened.
Ended very strong.
Yeah. So that was at five. So four.
No, number four.
What do we have left?
We've got Entertainment. We've got L. We've got Kyoto Goodwill, and we've got Overhaul.
Can I start?
Go for it.
I will put Kyoto Goodwill or my own arc, Overhaul, at number four.
Fucking Overhaul.
I might put the Jujutsu Kaisen one because, like you said, it was hella entertaining, but there was like nothing really happened. There was no sadness. Yeah. It was just motherfuckers rocking out, clapping, fighting, scrapping. And that was truly
it. It was flashy, but yeah, there wasn't a lot of emotional.
There was no emotion. At least with the Overhaul, you got emotion, you got fighting. You know, you got multiple things. You got a dope ass character that they introduced, lose everything that we love. We all grow to love.
You talking about the Overhaul arc?
Yeah, Overhaul. And it's
wait,
like,
what are the arcs left right now?
Entertainment, L, Kyoto Goodwill, and Overhaul.
Yeah, it's tough.
I think I agree the Kyoto Goodwill for everything you were saying, Keenan. It's a flashy arc. There's a lot of dope moments.
I don't have any fight left in me.
You're not even going to argue
no,
this?
No, Ice is out. Like, I'm good.
I'm so petty, bro. Is it five he's at?
We're at four.
No, he's at four. So he's at four and seven. My average is better than yours.
And you were out first. Congratulations.
So, but you got a seven. You bottom of the barrel. You have to do a play-in game.
You didn't even get that.
How you feel about that? You got to do a play-in game.
I don't know how you're comparing this to basketball.
That's wild.
Like, that's crazy. All I hear is the peanut gallery from the bench talking. I'm still in the
you
game.
You have a seventh pick. So, you're second to last.
Yeah, but you're average.
Average is better than his.
That'll be number four. Kyoto Goodwill is number four. So we're down to our top three. We got Entertainment arc, the L arc, and the Overhaul arc.
I'm going to take out the Overhaul arc.
I don't disagree. I think Rob has two solid arcs up there. That's just
wait. Are both the top two Robs?
The top two Robs.
Fucking
bullshit.
We're putting over.
Wait, you just switch your pick, man. It's all good. We can do this together, the team. If you want to,
we can do this together, the team. We got to be honest.
I know. Yeah. So, what are you picking?
Overhaul.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not. Yeah. Like, I'm not a hater at all. As much as I would love to try to pick the L arc or whatever, that'd be me just clearly.
You'd be
going for my pick.
Grasping at straws.
Yeah, that's a strong ass fucking pick. And then the Entertainment arc is a strong ass pick.
I mean, those are both. I feel like those
did
are
you
low
say I did that?
Those
did you
are
say
low,
that?
Low hanging fruits.
It is very low hanging fruit. He went the easy route. So let's say that. At the end of the day, Rob picked the fucking easy route.
What do you mean by easy
route? It was the easy route. I could have picked the easy route. I went first. I could have picked the easy route.
What place did you go? Hey, all right, guys. What's number two? What do we have left, Rob?
I'm not even mad about it because you could have. As Mark Zuckerberg said in The Social Network, if you invented Facebook, you would have invented Facebook.
Yeah, go fuck yourself, Rob. That's what you can go do.
He's right. I'm trying to get all intricate.
He's right. But
I'm trying to get intricate and pick like
he's
specific
on a line,
times.
But he's right.
And you right, giving y'all giving a full on episodes.
So,
I mean,
Rob, what's the last two?
The
last two are Entertainment arc and the L arc.
I mean, I'm gonna go L arc, Entertainment arc.
Same. I would do that.
That's what I say. L arc is number one. Entertainment arc is number two.
I would agree with that, actually.
I was going to agree, too.
Because I think L arc is it's solid.
It's deeper, man. It's like...
Well, it's longer, so it gives you a lot more.
It's also like 26 episodes?
It's one of the greatest arcs in anime history.
Yeah, I think it's 25
episodes. My personal opinion, too. That was literally the reason why I was just like, okay, I don't need to just watch action anime anymore. That was literally the arc or the show that started that. And I was just like, you were literally like, yo, could this guy fucking win? And I didn't know who to really root for, to be honest. I was rooting for both.
No,
like,
you
come
wanted,
on, man.
But you want the story to continue, so you want both of them to live.
And that shows you the writing. That
I don't like
how...
the face Rob has right now.
Coolest creative's just like, bro, Rob just chilling right now because both his arcs are still around. I'm like, yeah, I'm having a good time.
Having a
good
time.
It's a great episode.
Hey, baby, I made it to the top three. I don't give a fuck. I'm good, baby.
Jason Ranger is not feeling us on the DBZ pick down at seven.
I saw that.
Thank you.
He's not.
Thank you.
It's a tough. It's a
bad life, buddy.
If Rob would have picked it, then they would have put his white privilege one right to the top.
We would have
made it up there.
Nah, not at all.
I think just Rob went with the easy picks.
He went with the technically what you say with the low hanging fruit. But it's like,
that part is, I thought that's what I was doing.
Story arc.
Yeah. It's funny because like coming into this episode, I was like, I feel like we're all about to pick like the same two or three things, but we did have like a pretty like nobody picked anything that I.
So did we argue before what was better than Mugen? What do we say? What got the vote on the Mugen Train or the Entertainment District?
Entertainment District.
We gave it to Entertainment. But it was close. I think it was like a 5-3 win sort of thing.
Yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, that would have been wild if Mugen Train had won that battle.
And nobody picked it.
Entertainment arc wins this, it would not make sense.
Yeah, if you picked the Cell arc, it'll be different. That's what Luke Skywalker would have said. And I agree. I think the Cell arc would have gave is a fighting chance. It's like Brennan's point makes sense. But since it's not even the best arc in its own series, it's not going to be.
Being a catalyst doesn't make you the best. So being the first,
it's on the list.
You can't.
It's on Mount Rushmore. It's up there.
Say you don't like me without saying you don't like me.
Oh my god.
I mean, say it about Ice because you literally was like, you got him the fuck up out of here.
That was amazing. Oh my god. That was the great. That was the best one. I was like, wait, Ice is.
That's
out?
Why he was scared because once one of your picks, he's like, if I'm the first one to go,
oh yeah,
that shit hurts.
That would.
But I would rather be the first to go and be higher up than fucking seventh. You're seventh.
I don't, you know, you got to take what you can get, my brother.
And a whopping four.
You go, look, man, you even a garbage can gets a steak every once in a while, and you grasp it for straws. I'm here for it.
Shit. Wait, that's a garbage can, then where is Keenan?
Right. Like, you're seventh, bro. And you were debated for last.
But you were first out.
But you were last.
But both of your picks were out before both of anybody else's picks were out.
Are you the let me ask the chat. Who would you rather be? Would you rather be me, or would you rather be the fucking seventh pick? Garbage.
Chad B said, I hate to say it, but Trunks going Super Saiyan was better than Goku.
No.
I don't even remember him going Super Saiyan.
Was it, Trunks? Wasn't it like Future Trunks when he met Goku?
The first time it happened, the first time he went Super Saiyan was in like a
Frieza.
Movie. But when he showed up
on the
show.
I will say this. I feel like the greatest part of Dragon Ball Z was Trunks chopping up
Frieza.
That is pretty dope.
No, the best part
like
was
top.
Like,
yeah, top. Because again, Frieza had these motherfuckers in hell in a cell for.
I wish
a
that
whole,
fight would have been a little bit longer.
And then for him to pull up, and they were fear-strucken.
Yeah,
like they were fucked up. Like he's back. Oh my god. Me too. I'm like, oh my god. He's
Goku's
back.
Not around.
And Goku's not here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Trunks like, oh, this is not even our problem. These motherfuckers that, like, let me get him up out of here. And your daddy, get your daddy up out of here too.
But here's the thing, even Goku coming back, well, I'm sure
I have a question about that whole thing that I never thought about until just now. What actually happened? But like, I know this is only like just thinking about this from a future sense, like what happened in Trunks' story arc to Frieza and King Cold?
They probably got him up out of there.
Who?
Probably Gohan,
Vegeta, like, well, Gohan. Oh,
I think Goku beat him. I think the same
stuff
happened.
But Goku wasn't back yet. He was weeks away.
He beat. Oh, he's saying when Frieza came back.
Yeah, when Frieza King Cole came back.
I think it was Goku because basically Goku lands like 5 minutes after.
No, it wasn't
Trunks
5 minutes.
There.
They had to wait a long time.
Yeah, maybe they just kept him busy for a while.
That's what I'm saying. They had to wait. Like I remember Trunks was standing far away from everybody else, and they were just like hours of just sitting on rocks. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. You know. So I'm just saying,
it is Dragon Ball Z. Was it really hours or really seconds? Yeah. You know how that shit goes.
So they probably
said it was hours.
They probably stalled him out until Goku came.
Yeah, and it's also. So, I mean, love Toriyama, love what he's done for the genre, but it's a dude that's forgotten forms. It's a guy who's forgotten
characters.
Continuity
and
storytelling.
Colors,
who cares? Not always necessarily the strong point of Dragon Ball.
But Trunks, I think that's the best moment in Dragon Ball
Z. I'm so curious about what happened with that now.
Yeah.
Because Vegeta wasn't Super Saiyan yet.
No.
Mm-mm.
So Vegeta wasn't Super Saiyan yet. Goku wasn't back yet.
No.
Like, Gohan wasn't. Nobody else is Super Saiyan.
No.
Trunks technically wasn't born yet.
Trunks wasn't.
Or he was a baby or whatever.
He was a baby. So I'm just saying, like, who stood up to Frieza and King Cole?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like.
Or maybe that didn't happen that same way.
Maybe he didn't. He just stayed dead.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
But then why would Trunks, like, coming back after Frieza got there, have anything to do?
I think he just wanted to come back before the androids came.
Yeah, I don't think he came back.
But he
and
came
was like,
back and but he came back and went straight for Frieza. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he knew. I think personally, just thinking about it right now, I think that he knew that Frieza was the first problem. You know what I'm saying? True. I feel like Frieza probably killed some of the motherfuckers too. Then Goku did make it back after a few people died, and was able to defeat Frieza. Then Goku died of the heart disease, and then the Gandroids pulled up.
I think that's probably most likely he got COVID.
Didn't we kind of have this discussion before? couldn't Goku had pulled up earlier, but he knew Trunks was there or something like that?
And he kind of he could have been like in hyper gear. He was just like,
I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Somebody
I think
asked,
Goku,
but no, somebody that was something in somewhere said that they was like he could have instant transmission, but he saw him, so he's just like, I'm gonna take the pod and like.
Cruise there. I can
take
my time
rest.
There.
Yeah.
Because I think he could have entered. Yeah, he could have entered transmission there, or at least entered. Yeah, he could have entered transmission there when he felt Frieza's power and took care of everything, which is probably what he might have did in Trunks' future.
Because they said that they were talking when Goku talked to Trunks. They said that to each other.
He said something like, I could have pretty much. I could have got here when at an earlier time or whatever the case may be, but he didn't.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it's like Goku did that transformation, but they even said on here, too, it's like he don't even have the best. The top three is Trunks is probably top three best transformations ever in
I think Trunks has a better moment. I think the only thing that's competing with Trunks is the father-son Kamehameha, and I feel like that would have been even doper if Gohan did it by himself.
Mm. When
Goku robbed Gohan of that moment when he kills Cell. He took that moment from him, and that will always make me mad.
Okay, so we have our number. We have our 1 through 8 out of those arcs.
Yes, sir.
Y'all let us know in the comments. Dragon Ball Z Abridged did mention that Goku could have saved them. Watch Abridged. If you've never seen Dragon Ball Z Abridged, I remember Brendan said this wild shit. He was like, Dragon Ball Z would not be good as a comedy, motherfucker. You watch Dragon Ball Z Abridged. It's probably the funniest shit on YouTube. Yeah. It's one of the funniest things on YouTube.
I don't remember saying that.
You definitely remember we said what can be a comedy. We had that, we had a question that was like what anime can be a comedy. He's like, I don't think Dragon Ball can be a good comedy.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So let us know in the comment section, y'all. Top. Do y'all have anything? All right. Next week we're doing Wrecking of Kings episodes 5 through 8.
Yes.
5 through 8. Make sure y'all watch those with us. Y'all have anything y'all want to shout out? Anybody want to shout out?
Go ahead, Rob.
Your social media.
Yes. I got somebody to shout out. Another artist. This is John Lamb on Instagram. The handle is John L. John Lamb Art. They're an artist. They're a story or a senior storyboard artist at Riot Games, which is the studio that produces and makes Arcane. They've done a bunch of work. You know, at Blizzard, Nickelodeon.
They've worked on
Invincible.
Oh. My bad.
Oh no, what's
my
up?
Bad. No, you good.
So they've worked on a bunch of stuff. You look at their feed, clearly they're very talented. Clearly they have earned their place. They're super good. Check them out.
I was low-key gonna pick Invincible at that last piece.
That last piece was dope.
That shit was fucking wild.
That's what I was
gonna pick.
The only reason I didn't consider
arc, but I don't know.
The only reason I didn't really consider is because, you know, it's
it wasn't
anime questionable. Anime, yeah.
Did they do the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world? Did they do that one, Rob? Fuck you, Brennan. You were 7th. That's all I want to say.
I'm so happy.
Was your pick back to back losses? Was he back to back?
Guys?
Yeah.
When he got knocked out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think he's 5-4. Yeah.
No, it was 6-5. That was 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you said you can have it, bitch. That's what he said. That was the energy. Rob didn't want to say it, but how he said it, okay, bitch, you got it, bitch.
Okay,
that's what.
The rankings was L Arc, Entertainment Arc. We'll sit on that for a second.
You're a jerk.
Then Overhaul Arc, Goodwill Arc, Kyoto Goodwill
we're
Arc.
Ignoring the real villain here.
Veteran Arc, Thorco Arc, Frieza Arc. Then One Punch Man season.
Cam, is there any arcs that you have in your head?
I mean, you named a bunch of good ones. Mine, probably the Zanpakuto one from
Did
Bleach.
You turn off your camera to talk?
Mm. There we go.
The Zanpakuto one from Bleach. It doesn't matter. People can't.
Yeah.
Cool. The Zanpakuto arc from Bleach, I would say, would be my favorite.
Okay.
Favorite. Mm. Or okay. Of the, not, I mean, like,
of
Entertainment Entertainment District arc was fantastic.
Yep.
Like, all the ones are good, but.
Okay.
Gotcha. All
right, the rest of y'all, wish y'all Ice, happy stuff.
Ice McGowan on everything. Subscribe to me on YouTube if you haven't.
Brennan.
At Brennan Produces on the gram. Download the Kev on Stage Studios app because we out here like that.
Is that where we can find you getting smoked out by Tahir and Kev?
Yes, actually it is.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where you can find it.
And they got a very dope TV show on there too.
Workplace comedy.
Very,
you watched it?
I watched some of it. I didn't finish it yet. I watched some of it.
Have you watched any of it, Ice?
No, I haven't. The clips are hilarious.
Bro,
I saw Rob on there.
I'd say it's I would argue that there's genius in that show.
Kev killed to hear on one of those episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He gets roasted a couple times.
Yeah. He really went for Tahir's jugular there.
Yeah.
But the most recent episode is my favorite one that just came out this past time. The one with Rob Hayes, the Weatherman one.
That was a fun one.
Yo, when I tell you I cry laughing every time. I've seen the cut like 11 times.
Oh, that part when Tony's popping his head. Rob's doing it.
Oh, my God.
He's like half popping.
Yeah, he's just like, hey, no, just if you could just.
I was dying.
That, and then it's just like, we doing the wet. We doing the rain. We making it rain. Man, he turned around so fast.
I just
every time he does, I'm done.
I love that. Because we didn't even ask him to do it. Obviously, like a lot of our crew, people just happened to be from Syracuse, and they gave Syracuse that shout out.
Yeah,
like,
that
and Syracuse, we don't have anything from them, so just you let us know what's going on.
Yeah, you go ahead and send that in. That's it.
That
I'm
killed me
you,
on the day. That killed
Ice,
me.
Watch that fucking episode.
Good,
I promise you, you will laugh hard.
Kenan Baker on everything, animation podcast on everything, patreon.com/animation. Make sure y'all tune in. Make sure y'all get those Patreon subscriptions up, man. We're going to try to get Robin's cut out here in these streets. Like I said, next week, King Boji back in this bitch, man. Ranking of Kings, episodes 5 through 8. We think you're tuning in to another episode of animation. We out.
And so anime was solved forever.